My guest at this time is Georgia Republican Congressman Tom Price. He's a longtime physician. He represents his state's 6th Congressional District in the House of Representatives, and he is the chairman of the House Republican Policy Committee, which makes him a member of the House Republican leadership. He and I have spoken many times leading up to the vote in 2010 in the House of Representatives and the Senate about the president's health care plan, and, of course, all the legal twists and turns since then. On Monday, the Supreme Court announced it would not only hear challenges to the individual mandate portion of the president's health care bill, but an unprecedented 5.5 hours of oral arguments has been scheduled, most likely for some time early next year. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Greg. Wonderful to be with you on this really red-letter date.
It certainly is. And you and I have talked about this so many times. I don't think anybody who's really closely involved in this is shocked that the court's taking it up. But what do you make of the fact that finally this is happening and that they have scheduled such a lengthy amount of time to hear arguments?
Well, I think it's important to note that the taking it up in this session is was absolutely vital. Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, is continuing to roll out rules and regulations, trying to ramp up the infrastructure to enact this this law before its constitutionality is ruled upon. So the sooner we can get this answer, which I believe will be positive for the American people, that is, that the court will find that the law is unconstitutional, the better. Now, the length of time that they have scheduled is also important to look at, because what that tells me, and I'm not a Supreme Court expert, but what that tells me is that they are going to hear from an absolutely wide array of individuals having concerns about this law and or defending the law. But the broader the nature of the individual concerns and complaints relating to the constitutionality of this law and the imperative that the entire law ought to come down because of its lack of severability, then I think that's a positive move as well.
Realizing that you're medically trained, not legally trained officially, do you suspect that there will be severability, or will you think that the whole thing goes down if the individual mandate goes down?
That will be the $64,000 question once the court determines that that the individual mandate's unconstitutional. The finding will happen all at the same time for the public's purposes, for our purposes, for the nation's purposes. But the court itself will have to march through that step process of determining, yes, it's unconstitutional, the individual mandate's unconstitutional, it's a bridge too far. And then because of the absolute linchpin that this individual mandate is to all of the other, if you believe they're solutions that the president put in place that are, I think, an affront to the very practice of medicine, then everything else has to come down as well.
Congressman, you mentioned the fact that the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services still going forward, Department of Health and Human Services, with all these new rules in preparation for this coming on full in 2014. When the judge in Florida made his ruling, he struck down the entire law, and there was a huge debate at the time about whether that meant that these rules could still be going on while this was appealed up to the Supreme Court. Is it your contention that these rules are being drafted in violation of previous orders, or is the fact that there have been so many lower court rulings so many different things that, while not preferable from your perspective, they are not outside the law?
Well, Judge Vinson in Florida, as you say, ruled that it was unconstitutional and the entire law was unconstitutional, and therefore no further rulemaking should go forward. It's my understanding that the review of that that initial ruling by Judge Vinson in Florida, the review being in the 11th Circuit in Atlanta, actually said that they felt it was severable, that the individual mandate would be unconstitutional, but it didn't mean that the entire law had to come down. So I think that kind of gave the go-ahead for Health and Human Services to move forward with their rulemaking. That may be the legal perspective. However, I think it's absolutely reckless and irresponsible for this administration to continue to promulgate rules that decrease the choices and flexibility that the American people have as it relates to health care as they try to institute this law before its constitutionality is decided.
So where will we stand if, in fact, the high court rules severability is okay here and then the mandate's gone but all these new rules are in that were predicated upon the mandate being there? Just how convoluted and messed up will our system be?
Well, I think the court will appreciate that it would be a disaster because things that only work, if you believe they work, only work if everybody's in the system, like guaranteed issue and community rating. If you don't have the individual mandate, then those things actually drive up the cost of health coverage, decrease accessibility, and decrease flexibility of any program. So I think the court will these are bright and wise individuals, I think the court will find that, in fact, that is the case and that the whole thing ought to come down. And then that doesn't mean that it's all solved, because the status quo in health care, as we have talked about many, many times, is unacceptable, and we need real solutions. And that's why H.R. 3000, the bill, the comprehensive piece of legislation that we've put forward, I believe to be the kind of legislation that would get folks covered and solve the insurance challenges and address the lawsuit abuse issues, those things that absolutely must occur if we're to get our health care system back moving in the right direction, which is the direction that patients want it to move.
Congressman, your legislation has gotten a little bit of attention thanks to your fellow Georgian, Herman Cain, mentioning a number of times in recent debates about how he thinks that's the right way to move forward. You mentioned that it's been introduced again in this Congress. Do you get the sense that it will be moved on, assuming that the decision goes your way here? Would it be a high priority in the new Congress? Because you're going to have a lot of people who have the things that they do like in the early stages of Obamacare, whether it's pre-existing conditions, kids on your parents' insurance, and that sort of thing, that are going to be reluctant to watch those go. So how quickly do you expect to move on your legislation, and when might that be?
Well, I think some of that is predicated on what the court does. And if the court rules the entire bill law to be unconstitutional, then there will be a significant void within our health care policy. And so what we hope to be able to do is to stand and raise our hand and say, oh, by the way, there's a positive solution, patient-centered solution right here, right before your very eyes. And we're continuing to work through our education process of our colleagues and working to get folks to appreciate that you can solve all of these challenges without putting the federal government in charge of a thing.
Last question before we let you go, Congressman, and this one's more political. Even some on the left are suggesting that the fact that this decision will come down when it will likely come down in June of next year is politically good for the Republicans either way. Either it gets reversed and conservatives will like that, and the president sees his signature domestic policy initiative thrown out, or the president's position is upheld, and that will only galvanize the movement that led to the Tea Party and those town hall frustrations and everything else over the past couple of years, and that will provide a lot of momentum for conservatives heading into 2012 elections. What do you make of it?
Well, it's difficult to predict the political dynamic that will occur here. I think that the administration, the president, and his supporters actually moved forward on this because it's kind of like a Hail Mary pass. His numbers have continued to dwindle. His support is not one that would allow him to have confidence in being reelected. And I think what he said was, look, let's put it before the court, and if perchance the court upholds the constitutionality of this, that'll give us a big bump. So you can read the tea leaves any way that you like. However, I believe that the court will rule it to be unconstitutional, and that will encourage individuals to put in office folks who recognize the limits that the Constitution places on congressional action, legislative action, and the imperative of moving forward with patient-centered health care.
Congressman, always great to catch up with you on this critical issue. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Georgia Republican Congressman Tom Price represents his state's 6th Congressional District, longtime physician, and he is chairman of the House Republican Policy Committee. He is a member of the House Republican leadership. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.